Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire but you never seen her. I testify I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect them, I made the call, it was just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said thank God I ain't average. Yeah, I'm a bright young man. Kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on. So say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae. From the A train to the A, I'm coming in. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'm a man.
We didn't want to stop. We wanted to keep going. We wanted to keep going.
That's
I pray. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to stop, man. But it didn't. It didn't want to stop, you know?
Yeah. Fire.
Yeah, it's
fire. Yo, folks.
I just got a text message
from a friend. Before I go into this, this is big news. I just got a text message from a friend, and he just Googled point blank radio firearms, and we were the number one choice. How good is that?
You know what? I did check that. I checked. Someone else told me that too, and I checked that last week. Someone else told me that too.
You know what? Before we introduce ourselves again, I guess what? We don't got to introduce ourselves because you all already know us. But we can do it anyway. But I'm going to give ourselves a hand clap for that. Hand clap for that. That is good. That is dope.
Right.
That is dope. And to my boy that sent that out to me, I appreciate that. That is dope. Thanks for sharing that because I didn't know Keo's holding out on us.
Someone told me last week and I meant to mention it to y'all, but y'all know it'd be crazy, but someone else mentioned that to me and said when they were looking for the show link and they looked it up by putting in point blank radio firearms and it popped up. I was like, shut up.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, right? How cool is that? That is dope as hell. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
The Bible says hands of the diligent see success, so you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it
does. Go ahead and
tell
it, man.
Right.
So, man, how y'all doing? How's y'all week been, man, so far?
Mine
is kind of going down. I mean, we got to end the week. I've been in football camp for the last week and a half. Not even the last week and a half. We started last Thursday or Friday, something like that. And it's hectic, you know what I'm saying, because new coaching staff, so we got to get to know each other, a brand-new team, we got to get to know each other. And then on top of that, I'm not at a university anymore. I'm at Harvard Military Academy now, you know what I'm saying? So that's a whole, learning a brand-new environment is always a new thing, you know what I'm saying? It's huge. So stressful, and, of course, when I get stressed, I catch colds. I don't know why that is, but I do. So.
Yeah. Hey, just take care of yourself, man. Make sure that you're good. What about you, Kia?
I tell everybody, get you a case of emergency. Just take you a little emergency every day, and then clean out your sinuses, and you will stay healthy. Right. We don't even sniffle in this house.
Yeah,
emergency really do work too. The emergency, them things really do work.
Hey,
emergency
COVID,
works, and just rinsing out your sinuses works a lot too.
Yeah.
Rinsing out your sinuses works very well as well.
Mm. No doubt.
How's your week been, Kia?
It's been.
It's been a week. know, I'm out here making these millions.
It's just a lot, you know, a lot going on. But you know what? I'm going to be thankful for what I've been blessed with. And I'm just going to, I know that, you know, if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't meant for me, it wouldn't be. So I'm going to keep on rolling with it. So.
That's the best way. And I feel the same way, too. The week, you know, the week's been good. Can't complain, no complaints, because ain't nobody listening to you. I know I try to make my wife listen to me all the time. She be telling me, grow up, be an adult, serve it, handle it.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'll take that message going forward. Folks, we got some stuff that we need to talk and really pound in on our listeners, from the new gun owners to the experienced gun owners to the gun owners that shoot every day to the ones that don't shoot but have their conceal to the ones that lock their guns up to the ones that don't lock their guns up. And we have a conversation, folks. I don't know. I know I didn't really send a message now to y'all. You already know what I'm talking about, right? Because it's that crazy. So I'm pretty sure our listeners have heard about the extremely death of the young lady that she got shot by her kid on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
You know, and that right there, it's tough, man, because it, you know, we'll talk more, you know, we can definitely talk more about the actual incident itself, but you know, my views on it is definitely tough, and the person that's going to suffer the most from that is actually that, definitely the family, but that poor innocent kid that was curious, and that kid has to live without a mom, with a family that may grow up hating him. Hopefully not, but you don't know, you know, and they got to live with that whole fact that they were the one that took their mom's life. So that's very, very sad, you know, and I'm assuming that you two have definitely heard about it.
Yeah, 100.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. It was in Florida, right?
So, yeah, so it's a couple of them. I'm actually, were they both in Florida? Because one was last year, and was that one also in Florida?
Yeah, the one just a few days ago was Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Florida mall. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, 21-year-old. Yeah, 21 years old. Yeah. That's sad, man. I mean, you know, you can't really, you know what I'm saying? We could play both sides of the thing here, you know what I'm saying? She should have had this. She should have, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, she should have had it picked up, but who's to say she didn't? You know what I'm saying? We don't know the whole story. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kids are curious.
I'm glad you said that. Kids are curious. You know,
I think
that is the part that we cannot forget when we have a firearm in a home, is that, folks, kids are curious, and they always know where you hide, where you lock your firearm up at. I think, I don't know if that was proper English, but y'all get the point. We think that these kids don't know. We think that they can't climb. We think that they can't move stuff. We think that a kid's curiosity and imagination gets them in a whole heap of trouble. And that is the one thing that you don't want to happen. So for those of y'all I'm saying it just like this. For those of y'all that's probably been living under a rock, that don't know this extremely sad story. A toddler accidentally shot and killed, I'm going to read it verbatim. A toddler accidentally shot and killed a Florida woman who was on a Zoom call with her coworkers this week after the child found an unsecured loaded handgun, the police said. The lady name, I'm not going to put her name out there, but she's 21, and, you know, she's just doing her day-to-day in her apartment, and the kid they never said the age of the kid, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think
they said three.
Three? Really? Because the report I'm looking at, it just says toddler, so I guess that came out after. So this 3-year-old found a gun, and again, like Elliot said, We don't know the full story or anything like that. I don't think the full story is ever going to come out. But this three-year-old found a gun. Obviously, it was loaded. Obviously, it was loaded. And from what the reports say, the lady was on a Zoom call, and her coworkers just heard a noise. And folks, don't, again, we get lost in this movie world. We think that when a gun goes bang, on the other side, we're going to hear the exact same audible bang. No, we're not. Not going to sound the same coming through headphones or a phone or anything like that. It's going to sound different. So the coworkers said they heard a loud noise, and the mom's head fell back, and she fell off screen. And that was it. You know, they call 911. 911 rushed to the apartment, rushed to the home, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. And, you know, now thinking about it, even sadder, this poor three-year-old was probably there by themselves wondering what just happened to mommy. Can you imagine that? Your three-year-old is just there, just helpless. Don't know what's going on. They just know. They don't even know the bullet went there. They just know mommy, there's a boo-boo in mommy's head, and she's bleeding, and she's probably, that poor baby's probably crying. Don't know what's going on. And, again, this is extremely, extremely sad, and there's definitely a lesson to be learned here. And that's number one for me, and I'm going to pass it around the horn to you two. For me, one of the biggest takeaways from this is, when you decide you want to introduce a firearm to your home, you need to definitely don't go out and buy it without considering the environment, number one. I've shared my story from when we first decided to buy our first set of handguns. We definitely put a lot of thought into what we were going to get. And because my wife and I weren't too – we didn't know anything. I know I didn't know anything about firearms. My wife, Mrs. Smith, from Mr. and Mrs. Smith movie, I think she lived a past life to where she didn't handle firearms, but she, you know, and of course I'm joking, but, you know, we didn't know anything about firearms. And what we ended up doing, we ended up going with a gun that had a safety, because to us, that's what we thought we needed to have. And I always kept the gun unloaded, tucked away, because I was still learning. Now, year and some change later, that's definitely not the case anymore. We've both upgraded our firearms. Both of our firearms don't have safeties. We keep them loaded, but we keep them safely out of the reach of our kids. Does our kids know how to utilize the firearms? Our son knows how to shoot. Our daughter's still curious. Our nephew, who's always in the house, he's six, he's curious. But they know about gun safety. But that key word is curious. They're kids, and they're still curious, you know. And we have to be able to identify their maturity as they grow older, but still recognize that they're still curious. And, you know, I'm just going to say, like, we definitely consider our environment. And when we brought the firearm into the home, we introduced it to our kids. Now, of course, this is a three-year-old. And, you know, this three-year-old is still learning how to do whatever a three-year-old does, right? So it's kind of harder. Maybe, again, I'm not going to assume on this situation. I don't want to say that maybe, like you said, maybe she should have did this, that maybe she should have did that. This is already a tragic story. I don't want to start putting what she should have did or what she couldn't have done and none of that stuff there. I just want to say, folks, make sure that you secure your firearm. Securing your firearm don't necessarily mean you have to leave it empty. Securing your firearm means just that. Secure your firearm. When I am home and when I'm home, I have my firearm concealed on my body. My kids can't get to my firearm. It's on my body. That's how I do it. My wife secures her firearm a different way. Our kids cannot get to our firearms that are fully loaded, ready to go. And now this doesn't tie back to our home defense plan. That's something different. Our kids are included in that. But our fully loaded, ready-to-go firearm, our kids have zero access to. So my takeaway from this is, folks, secure your firearm and stop saying, I taught my kid would never do this, my kid would never do that, because here we are in a situation where his poor mom that lost her life was probably saying, my kid would never. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pass it around
but the
to
thing
you
is,
I can talk about this whole day.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing for me. You can never say what a three-year-old won't do, right? You have to, like you said, consider the environment, consider the age of the child and stuff like that. Like if my child was let's say, three, so I would definitely not be, you know, it's like I'm not even sure I would really introduce a gun to my three-year-old because I really don't see what benefit it would have. And to introduce them to a three-year-old, right? But as the child got older, start, you know, walking and maybe going with me to the range, you know, five or six, I think, you know, I just feel like I'm just so curious what kind of gun it was that a three-year-old can pull the trigger, one. And I know you said we're not going to do that, but I just want to know what could have possibly happened. Like you said, we probably will never know. But it is very tragic. And I mean, even thinking from my mom's perspective, she probably thought, the child can't pull the trigger, you know, or she probably have laid it around a million times and the child never touched it. But, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, like you said, kids are kids, you know, and you just got to be, you know, mindful that can you really teach a three-year-old about gun safety? Let's be realistic.
No, not at all. You can't.
No, you can't.
The gun
you
safety
can't.
Starts with you, you know, starts
but,
with you.
I mean, there has to be a level that we have to figure out, especially as instructors. So maybe we can't teach them, you know what I'm saying, about the, you know, the four safety rules, right, or the proper handling of one. But maybe a unwritten rule of this is not a toy, you know what I'm saying, don't touch. Now, and the reason I say that is I've been a gunsmith since I left the Marine Corps, right? But I've been legitimately a gunsmith over the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying? 16 Tactical, got started last year in 2020, but I was working on firearms before that, which was how all of it came to fruition. That being said, I had a three-year-old son in here that I had to every day remind him, because children are curious, right? I had to remind him every day, this is not a toy. You know what I'm saying? And he would walk by, and I could see the wheels turning in his head, and I'd be like, nope, my Mike, that's not a toy. You know what I'm saying? If I walk away from it, of course, no ammunition is anywhere near any firearms that I'm working on, but even still, I knew that he wouldn't understand, you know, hey, I can't play with it unless I kept telling him no. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, we can't teach them what we teach, you know, people in our class or even our 7 or 8 year old kids, but there's got to be something that she could have, you know what I'm saying? Because I do it and I'm not perfect. You feel me? And my
kids
are very much a
I agree with that, but I think it's also easier to, I also think it's easier to hide a gun from a 3 year old and put it out of their reach than it is maybe a 5, 6, 7 year old. You see what I'm saying? So like a 3 year old, you could put it at the top of your closet or put it in somewhere or whatever without them being able to access it. You see what I'm saying? So I'm understanding what you're saying because, you know, as a gunsmith, of course.
But I say this too, like I walked in the kitchen one day, my 3 year old had climbed up the cabinet into the top of the cabinet to get a Dorito that his mom was trying to hide for him because he thought he couldn't reach it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, and don't get me wrong, I'm not disagreeing with y'all by no means. I agree with what y'all saying 100%. I just know I got two little boys that proved my theory wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I thought I could hide this. I thought I could put this up in the top of my closet. You know, these jokers act like the house is a jungle gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, they climbing on everything. So I was like,
but
oh
you know
God,
what
man.
I say, E, though? I agree with, I get what you're saying, and I agree with it as well. Don't just buy it and hide it. You know? That's why for me, the one thing is no matter what you do, no matter what you do, whether you start introducing it, the concept of that gun or just gun not safe from whatever age you decide to do that to, or you hide it and you don't introduce it, right? or you put it up out of reach, the key word
right.
that I take away from all of this is secure. You know, because
right.
I can hide a gun. I can hide my gun and put it where? Under my mattress. Put it dead center in the mattress.
Right.
Is it hidden? Absolutely. What's the definition of hidden? To me, it's not in plain sight. Right? But now my kid go under it. Is it secured? Because we have to always assume, like you said, Ian, I think what you said is definitely a big takeaway, and it ties back to and as to what Kia is saying as well. Number one, a kid will be kid, so we don't really know the maturity level of a three-year-old. You know, one day it can be goofy, the next day they can be serious, the next day they can emotional, whatever. But we do know that three-year-olds, for some reason, they have strength of 10 men when they're ready. For some reason, their eyes are super sharp. And for some reason, they are the most flexible beings in the world, and they have the highest vertical possible. Because you'd be like, I just put that on top of the refrigerator, and they're on top of the refrigerator. I personally feel it's kind of like a bag of chips, right? You put a bag of chips or you put something dangerous on top of a refrigerator, i.e. a gun. They get to it. Why is it loaded? If you hit it, why is it loaded and ready to go? Because you know what a three-year-old can't do, right? A three-year-old
can't find a gun in a lockbox, load the magazine,
pull the slide back, take the safety off, pull the trigger. Three-year-old can't do that.
Right.
But a three-year-old can definitely grab a loaded firearm, and if they can get, and we all know there's some guns, I can tell you right now, if it's a revolver, is it really happening? Probably not. That trigger's heavy, you know, but if they really want to, they could. If it's a gun like a Canic that have a hairpin trigger, if it's just any of those type of things where, you know, a Glock which has a decent trigger, they can easily put one finger there, have a weird angle, and pop.
My mechanic does have an easy trigger. It does.
Yeah. You know, so I agree with both of y'all, and I think that they should both be implemented based on your assumed maturity level of your kid. I don't think you should hide a gun from a kid because now they find it.
I say that all the time. You don't hide it, and I do agree with you, Dwayne, when you said about keeping it on you, you know, or keeping it in your possession. You don't have to keep it in your possession while you're at home, because. This is so tragic, and it's so sad, and my heart goes out to the family.
I think about the situation, and every time I hear something like that, I always go through the scenario, you know what I'm saying, of the possibility, and what I think possibly happened is that she was rushing to get into that Zoom call, you know what I'm saying?
I can see that, yep.
Took her firearm off, didn't clear it. You know what I'm saying? And she was so busy trying to get to this business call because it may have been extremely important for her, and she wasn't aware of where her kid had gone for a second. You know what I'm saying? So.
And all it takes is a second. All it takes is a second, boy.
Absolutely. And you know as well as I do, a child that sees something for the first time is more curious than seeing it 100 times. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yep. That's definitely true. Yeah.
So I think that cause, and I'm just saying scenario, spitting, you feel me? Like, but I just don't want to say that this young lady was just negligent. I hate when people try to make
and I'm not going to say that either.
She was just negligent. No, because when you read the article, the first thing they said, she left it in the hands. She left the unsecure firearm. Yeah, it was unsecure when y'all found it, but who's to say it wasn't secure and the kids just happened to go. You see what I'm saying? Because I've walked out of my car door thinking that I closed it and turn around and the alarm will go off. And I'm like, well, why won't it go off? And I'm looking and my door swinging open. You see what I'm saying? So accidents happen. Like, and I hate that the media will find a way, to try to make it seem like she was just negligent. No, it was an accident.
We had a caller, and I was going to get to the caller, and the caller hung up. So if you're the caller that was just calling and holding, call back in and we'll answer your call. We're about to get to you next. I'm sorry, but go ahead, Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that really bothers me when I read those things and it quickly to be like, oh, she was negligent, you know, she left it. You know, man, we don't know the whole story because the 3-year-old can't tell you the story, and the person that knows what really went down is now dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So let's not assume.
You know, that's very true. That's very true. And like I said, when it comes down to firearms, folks, there's a couple things. And I brought this up on my Zach Tactical Tip of the Day today. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. But the thing that I brought up is confidence, right? And I said, if you can't handle your firearm with confidence, don't handle it until you can confidently do so. And part of that is, for me, is I'm always running behind. I'm always late. But the one thing I don't do is I don't rush when it comes down to my firearm. I don't rush to take it off of me because it's fully loaded. I don't rush to holster my firearm. I slow down and do that stuff because I know what rushing can lead to. I'll call our team back here. So if you want to pick them up.
Okay, let's pick up our caller and see what. Yep. Thank you for calling Point Blank.
Hi, Point Blank.
Hi, not Dwayne's mom. We missed you.
Oh, my gosh. You recognize her voice right away.
Yeah, right off gate.
No, that thing with the young lady, the toddler and the mom, I actually was sitting with my 6-year-old grandson because I told Dwayne about it, the one that always at his house. And he said, when they came over, he said, Grandma, that lady needs to go to Uncle Classy. I said, oh, my God. So just like to compliment y'all and what you're doing, safety, safety, safety. And to say that he just turned 6 and he realized, right, from what they said, that it was a lack of safety too, you know. And I don't know. But it's just like y'all are doing a great work. Did I had a problem listening to y'all. It was cutting in and out. Did Dwayne mention about the 2 middle schoolers in some other state that one shot the other one at 12:30 again?
No,
we haven't even gotten to that.
Anytime I hear things like that, I normally just call them and say, this is a good topic for y'all to bring up. It's safety, safety, safety. I still oppose guns.
Absolutely.
Okay? Don't get me wrong. But he made me touch one the other day.
Oh, gosh.
Scary, terrifying thing I ever did in my life. And tonight he came to me before he go home, and he had a yellow one. Tell me, that's his
first. Yeah, it was a training
that
pistol, y'all.
That one wasn't bad.
Good job. Good job not going to mom's son.
It's scary. I still oppose it. But, you know, it's like y'all have to educate the people. And I'm seeing it every day is lack of education.
I would definitely say I can. So I'm with you, E, right? So where I would say I don't want to blame this young lady and say it was a matter of negligence. I think that is such a harsh word. That is a taint in our gun community, is that is the trigger right there. You know, if somebody was on the fence of, do I get a firearm or not, and the reasoning that they're on the fence is because they have kids around the house, this article comes out and the word negligence is plastered across front page, they're going to say no, right? I don't think the word is negligence. However, I do believe there's a lesson to be taught in every unfortunately bad situation. And maybe, I think, E, you might be spot on with your assumption of what happened. You know, she wanted to get on the Zoom call, and she took her gun off and put it down. And you also said something, too, that popped into my mind was the kid probably had never seen that before. Or that poor kid, mom broke routine. So I'm looking at my dog that's sitting right next to me. When I come into the house, or before I leave the house, I put my holster on, and I grab my firearm. My dog don't move. As soon as I put one in the chamber, my dog gets up and walks out the room. He for some reason knows he don't want to be around that. If I don't do that, he don't move. And I always put puppies and babies together because they have their curiosity is kind of almost identical, in my opinion. Listeners, don't kill me because
yeah,
I compared the animals
right.
to the baby. You know what I mean? So maybe mom didn't go through with her regular routine. And because the three-year-old didn't see the regular routine, maybe the three-year-old is thinking, let me help mom. You know what I mean? There's so much different levels. But the one learning point of all of this is the safety part. Yes, you're rushing.
Yeah,
if this is the case.
Because you wonder, was he trying to hand
gun,
it to his mom?
Slow down.
Yeah.
Was he trying to hand it to his mother?
Too.
Like, why would he walk to his mom and shoot it? You know, so was he trying to give it to her?
So
you know.
Much. And how is a toddler going to carry a gun? You know, Tia, that's a great point as well. How is a toddler going to carry a gun? The toddler's going to pick it up, and the toddler's going to hold it like you would naturally hold it and say, here, mommy, and point it up. So I think the thing that I would definitely say is securing your firearm. We should not be rushing ever. I see the videos a lot, and I absolutely hate these videos. You'll see them go, use the timer, beep, draw your firearm, pop, 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 pop. All right? And then that's fine because you're working on your draw speed. But they'll rush and reholster. Why are you rushing to reholster? Target is down. Take your time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when it comes down to firearms, you should never rush and try your best not to break routine because if anything happens, this is life or death, either yours or somebody else. Unfortunately, it was this young lady's. What you were saying now, not Dwayne's mom?
Yeah. What I was saying, so a dead man tell no tale. So the question is, nobody know what happened that day. But then
they
were questioning the father. Wasn't the child's father was involved in it in the beginning? I didn't see the answer.
When
the
child's father came home, he got there before the paramedics did, which I don't understand that. Who called him?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know.
There's a lot more to watch the scene in the paper because we don't know. You know, all that thing is like, she's dead. The child can't talk to tell you nothing, but I'm probably by mama or whatever it is. So nobody know what happened. But one time they were calling the responsibility like if the gun was the father owned and not the mother. But I didn't hear anything else more about it. But again, as you said, I don't know. I just vision a three-year-old child shouldn't get to that extent. My mother always
course, in a perfect world. You know, that's definitely in a perfect world.
But talk about the other one because I'm interested in hearing what y'all think about that one.
Let's pick up a caller right quick too, so we can. I thought not Dwayne's mom was gonna stay on. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, I'll stay on.
Okay, stay on. Okay, hold on. Thank you for calling Point Blank.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Area code 8. Hi, how are you?
Good. So I am a good friend of, let's say, of Tactical, Zach Tactical and stuff, and not Dwayne's mom and stuff. And in reference to that,
Dwayne, to stop paying people.
One of the biggest things why this has also made the news because guns are always a very good, touchy subject to get a lot of attention. Not Dwayne's mom is on a lot of medication, right? She has a lot of kids that are usually around her. Just like how they were saying, you know, you can, if you come out of routine, she could easily be in a lot of pain and just one time forget to not close one of her medications properly. Boom, a kid gets kid gets, you know, whatever. A lot of us have alcohol in the house. Our kids know that we have alcohol in the house, right? But it's up to us at the same time to make sure that, one, it's secured and it's not laying around. But what happens? It could easily get into the wrong hands and a kid can die from, you know, alcohol poisoning. Just like, you know, any other thing in the house, cigarettes or whatever, right? When I was younger, I wanted to be like my father. My father had, you know, used to, you know, use the regular straight edge razors. What do you think? He ran out of routine. He left the razor laying around. Who do you think went and found it? I went and found it in the bathroom and shaved my lips and was bleeding all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, that wasn't, it could have been a lot worse, but just because of that, look what happened. Now, could I say my father was being negligent? No, because his assumption was not that I would have went behind him, you know, within that time and do what I did. Same thing with this woman and her, you know, and the situation with the child. It could have just been she was rushing because I know I rushed to get on my Zoom calls and things like that. But at the same time, yes, we cannot break out of routine with certain things. Every time I come home, my car keys aren't just laying anywhere that somebody can just pick them up and go. Even if you have a kid, because how many times have we heard on the news a kid randomly, just like you said, Elliot, you didn't realize the alarm's going off in your car because your door didn't get closed properly. Kids can go into the car and all of a sudden shift that car into neutral and it rolls over somebody's kid.
Well, we've all done that as a child, haven't we?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I didn't start driving until I was 20.
When I was in the Marine Corps, my ex-wife was coming to pick me up, and she left the kids, my daughter and my oldest son, in the car, and she left the car running. And she came out to the Battalion Army's front door asking to see if she could speak with me to ask when I was getting off exactly. And sure enough, we hear a crash. And when we all run outside, the kids had driven the car, like they, my oldest son had gotten out of his car seat and was trying to climb over the seat and grab the hole somehow of the gear shift. And when he pulled it, it drove right into the tree line. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, it was a huge fight because I was like, yo, that was dumb. Why did you leave the kids in the car running, you know? But, needs to say, we've all done dumb stuff
what?
Like that. You know what I mean?
Hearing what everybody's saying, I would definitely say there's a big difference or a slight difference or there's a difference between negligence and just being careless. And a lot of times we take the term, you're being careless, and we take it as the most offensive word. I don't understand why that if we say, hey, Elliot, you were being careless today, and you're like, I wasn't being careless. Well, did you not leave the pot of water? Did you not leave that frying pan with the handle facing out? We all know you put it in because someone could walk by. That's a form of carelessness. Just don't let it happen again and be a little bit more aware of that. And I believe, again, unfortunately, like you said, not Dwayne's mom, is that dead man tells no tale, right? And unfortunately, I don't want to place the term negligence on this lady because we don't know the full story. Until we know the full story, I don't want to put that on her name. But I would say she was careless in her act of securing her firearm around her three-year-old. Okay, because let's take a three-year-old. Everybody's outraged because a three-year-old is involved. The three-year-old wasn't shot. The three-year-old was the one that did the shooting. What if this was the one
that applies to? That applies
what
to everybody because just like you said a few years earlier, you had no experience in guns, just like a lot of us at one point in time. So it's not just a three-year-old. It could be anybody. Just because I can live in a house full of, let's say, grown adults doesn't mean that they're, you know, I should be just as non-caring and say, oh, I can leave it here because I'm in a house full of, quote-unquote, responsible adults. It doesn't take, as you said, it only takes one time for something to go wrong. So you like a lot of them can't just look at it like, oh, just because they're trying to make it look like it's just a little kid. But stuff like this happens with grown people. Old people, teenagers.
You're right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know,
someone
could have
broken into her home.
That live in a house
someone
could have
broken into her home, grabbed her gun, and used it. What would we be doing right now? We won't place blame on her and say she was negligent. We would say us, you know, instructors. We say, well, maybe she should have secured her firearm. That was someone broke into her home. It will be on her. We won't be placing this poor blame on the kid or blaming it on the family. So. Not Dwayne's mom.
We have another caller, y'all.
Friend Sean, we appreciate y'all getting on.
You guys are welcome to stay on. We got another caller. Let's pick this caller up as well.
Give them the boot. Give them the boot. Nah.
No, they don't have to get the boot. They can stay.
Nah.
Thank you for calling Point Blank. We've been waiting for you.
Now, see, I'm about to say something nice about you all. You talk about giving me the boot.
No, not you.
First of all, I'd like to say this. I'd like to say this. I want to make it absolutely plain to everybody out there listening. I am so gratified and pleased to see that the creators and participants of the Point Blank platform are more responsible with securing weapons and firearms than the Biden administration is. In fact, we are witnessing mass interference in the Middle East, but not on the Point Blank show.
Sarge, you could have waited 20 more minutes. Cole, we were getting there.
No.
We were getting there, Sarge.
I'm precious, sir. But look, let me just say this about your top, which, is, of course, is extremely serious and goes to the heart of responsible firearms ownership. And having had to deal with carrying firearms all of my adult life, in professional capacities, and having them issued to me by the state of Illinois in order to keep in my possession at all times, I've had to deal with this while raising children. So it was, I know that the age of reason under common law is generally considered to be 7 years of age, but I'm sure none of us here will consider any seven-year-old as being fit to be around a firearm unless they're utterly supervised, and perhaps not even then. So
right.
I would have to weigh this constant struggle of, you know, what do I do with my child and strike this balance between access to the firearm, which I also think is important, maybe a notch more less important than securing it from the child, but still of importance, and at the same time keeping it away from the child. Now, I myself came up with, since I wasn't aware at the time of any special safes that could recognize your fingerprints and you could stick in and do a little three-digit combination thing real quick or whatever. I'm a handyman and a carpenter, so I made my own gun safe out of walnut. And I put a lock on it that you had to go through four separate steps, and it took a large adult hand in order to carry them out to get the door open. And that was my balance, imperfect as it might have been, between security and ease of access. And in the meantime, I would not allow my children to play with toy guns at all. Their first exposure to firearms was the real thing, starting with my son when he was about 10 years old, and constantly stressing to him the moral imperative of safe and proper firearms handling. Now, I sweated it out, but it worked out fine for all four of my kids. And, you know, I'm through with it, and they're all familiar with it. But it is there is a tension. It is something that each of us have to do individually. And whatever you do, you got to work it out with your spouse and or your significant other. And that the first available opportunity, you've got to familiarize your child in one way or another with firearms and their absolute lethality, assuming your child's of normal intelligence in a normal ethical sense. And if you can, I think that's the best way to approach it. And that's just a general rule. I don't think you can be absolutely specific for everybody because I don't think one size fits all with any of this.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. I think that's a good way. You know, I just think that, you know, the media is very good at getting the people that's not pro-gun to spark outrage in them, not realizing how easy it is to manipulate a gun and how easy it's not to manipulate a gun, right? And I feel like the way the media spins the story, when there's a situation when a gun is supposed to go bang and it don't go bang, the media say it should have went bang, right? And they spin how easy it is to use the gun. The gun should be easy to use and blah, 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 blah. When it's a situation where it's not, when the gun shouldn't have went bang and it went bang, the media say how easy it is, you know, and they put that in the hands of the kid. I think in this particular situation, it's just the media spinning the narrative, putting it out there by using words like negligent, placing blame on this mom. And and giving us and going off of non-existent facts. You know, they don't know the full story, you know. But what we do know is, was the firearm secured? Absolutely not. We do know that. Was that a form of carelessness? Absolutely. So what can we take away from that? Those of you that are brand new firearm owners, those of you that have been shooting for a day and a year, for multiple years and a day, don't be careless with your firearm. Don't rush when it comes down to manipulating your firearm, especially when there's no need for you to rush. I can understand rushing if it's a life and death situation, but let's not create a life and death situation because you're rushing to get on a Zoom call, because you're rushing to get out your house. Slow down, especially when it comes down to utilizing your firearm. And secure it, secure it, secure it. Do not assume that the people, kids, or whoever you are around knows about firearms or that they're just going to overlook your gun. Not only did this kid pick up his firearm, we've also seen videos where adults have shot other adults with their own firearms being curious. How crazy is that to say?
Or being drunk, or being under the influence of drugs,
drunk,
or doing other crazy stuff. Yeah.
You know, so let's not place a negligent blame on this. We can say something could have been done, but we can't say, the only thing I can say from a firearm owner, it wasn't secured, and that was the careless part of it. So unfortunately, where we are with this one.
I think we got to keep things in perspective, because after all, we know as a matter of fact, more children die in swimming pool accidents, home swimming pool accidents, than die from accidental firearm discharges every year. And we don't talk about getting rid of swimming.
Right.
No, we don't.
See, you know,
that is very true.
That's always the bottom line. Like, we, you know what I'm saying, we can't never forget. Like, they're going to use, this will be a ploy for gun safety or gun control. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I was trying to lead up to. Like, this is going to be another one of these incidents they're going to try to use as a way to see why. Yeah, see, this is why we need gun control. She shouldn't have had that firearm. She obviously didn't have training, and she didn't know how to, you see what I'm saying? And that really aggravates me. Like, you know what I mean? Let's look at it. That's all we know is that the child accidentally shot his mom. That's it. That's all we truly know.
Well, one thing that I absolutely reject categorically out of hand is these type of, I call them kind of gimmicks, you know, the kind of firearm that can only be fired if the fire is wearing a particular ring that has to be within such and such proximity to the lock mechanism of the trigger or whatever. That kind of thing, for me, I'm not saying for anybody else, that's up to you to design. And I notice they seem to be falling out of favor because I'm not hearing much about it anymore. For me, absolute reliability in a firearm is absolutely critical. Like you were just saying a moment ago, I want it to go bang when I want it to go off. And I don't want to have to worry about any electronics, any chips, any magnets, any rings, anything that I'm going to need to have the thing go off when I need it to go off and it don't go off.
100%.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we've heard,
I
don't know, have you guys heard much about that sort of technology being advocated today? Because I remember once about a time the gun grabbers were all hot and dried about it. In fact, they even introduced some legislation saying that they ought to introduce federal law saying that all newly manufactured firearms had to have some form of improper discharge technology built into them. They didn't go anywhere, but I haven't heard much of it in quite a few years. Have any of you heard anything along those lines?
No.
Hey, Sarge, let me tell you the craziest thing, right? I saw this YouTube video that spoke about a technology to where your firearm would not fire unless it reads your particular fingerprint, right? And the fingerprint would only be accepted if it's recognized that a person is over a certain age, which I don't know how that's possible. But this is just what it was. And guess who they said was the designer for this particular technology and why? It was designed by like a 16-year-old because they wanted to help with with minimizing these type of shootings that we're talking about now. How crazy perfectly fun was that?
Well, wow. I assume that the technology wouldn't be able to recognize your fingerprints if you weren't gloves, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, which most military and law enforcement people do. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's ridiculous. But check this out though. You know what I'm saying? I understand that we all have unique fingerprints. But what if one day I'm eating, I got greasy hands, I leave a fingerprint on the scanner, right? And my son picks up the gun and it recognized my fingerprint because of the grease print. You know what I'm saying? So, I said it to say it's a possibility because my son, when I first got my new iPhone that had the face identification, right? I used it so that I could lock my phone so he couldn't get in. Unfortunately, my son looks so much like me, he could get in my phone when he would put his face there to the camera. And I kept asking him, how are you doing that? I'm like, how are you doing that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And he was like, I just picked the phone up and it would unlock. And I watched him do it. The camera was identifying my son as me. You know what I'm saying? So,
because
they're
common facial characteristics.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like that's what it was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cheekbones, the smile, the lips, the eyes, yeah, all of that. Yeah. That's what it's really doing.
You know, I think those kind of gimmicks are only slightly less ridiculous than a featureless California assault weapon. You know what I mean? I think they're just gimmicky and silly and, you know, absurd. And
yeah. Absolutely.
So, Dwayne, there was something you were going to talk about, the second topic. What's rolling to that?
So the second topic, and this was real quick, it's kind of like a mid-topic. There was a shooting that happened that involved a 13-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy. And I don't want to go over until we get the details. So not Dwayne's mom. We are going to look this over. And on the next show next week, we're definitely going to cover this. Real quick, I'm throwing this out there. Folks, listeners, phone number is 845-241-9979. 845-241-9979. For those of you that are regular listeners, do what Sarge does, y'all. Put it on speed dial. And for the title under the number, when you save it on speed dial, put the number one Google show.
Yeah.
That's it. Number one Google show, Point Blank Radio. All right?
Point Blank Radio.
So one of the things that I want to go into, right, to kind of lead to the end of the show, and Sarge, you came on too early, Sarge. Too early. We was expecting you to come on later. I'm just kidding, Sarge.
But no.
I'm just teasing. I think that this is actually perfect for Elliot, Kia, and definitely you, Sarge, and myself. So a friend of mine sent me this, and I read this earlier. Did y'all know that we had some law changes that came about, I believe, last Friday, if I'm not mistaken, to where it is now going to be, I believe, a federal crime or considered a terrorist threat or a terrorist act if you question the validity of the election. So if you say that the election was rigged and that there's a way that Trump can be reinstated, it's considered a terrorist act and you can go to jail. If you also If you also question the vaccination, the COVID vaccine, it can be considered a terrorist act. And also, and also, this is the only one that makes sense to me. If you have anything that ties into, you know, any kind of threats that pertain to the 9/11, especially with the 20-year anniversary coming up, definitely consider the terrorist act, which that one makes sense. But the other two doesn't make any sense. Now, if this was 100% passed on Friday, the 13th, or I know it's something that they're bringing to the table. However, something like this is the start of what we don't want. You know, so what do y'all think about that? And I'm gonna pull up the facts right now. So what do y'all think of those two things?
Look, there's only one way to think about this. I'm gonna say this again. I rarely speak in absolutes unless I'm talking about death and taxes. But here's something I'm gonna talk about in an absolute. There's only one form of speech that is prohibited by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. That is an explicit call to violence. Speech that amounts to criminal fraud, sedition, advocacy of sedition and or treason, and nothing else, period. Any such law, if this is in a proposal stage, people have the right to propose any damn stupid thing they wish to. But if they wish to propose this and make this law, then I say to every single American citizen who's concerned about their liberties and their freedoms, it is time to resist and disobey. There is nothing else to do with something like this if this ever was to become true. It is tyranny, pure and simple. We don't have to abide by it under any circumstances, and I would say by any means necessary, end it.
100%.
Let's get a round of applause for that one, because, listen, you can't tell me how to think and what my opinion is and how I feel. Like, this is borderline communism. Like, you're telling me what I can do. You're going to give me what I need. And you're going to, really. Like, I don't really understand. I'm confused. Where do we live? Is this America? Is this America? I'm sorry.
But isn't the agenda to oppress us all? I mean, you know, nobody really wants to say it, but at the end of the day, that's what they want.
It is. They know they got to go after two critical things to implement the sort of ideas they wish to implement. Now, they're thrown up in our face every day. Number one, they've got to eliminate our right to free speech. They are enlisting the aid of high-tech companies in order to do it. They are using them as proxies to reduce our freedom of speech. And the number two thing they got to do is what they've already done to the Australians as they implement martial law. They've got to effectively negate the right to keep and bear arms. If and when they do those two things, the floodgates to tyranny in the United States will be completely wide open.
100%.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah.
And they're doing everything
that's
that they
really,
can
that's
to do
really,
it.
Really,
I mean, I know you
it's
guys
really,
seen,
that's scary, y'all.
I know you guys seen links and little clips of how the Taliban is going around and they're confiscating the guns of the civilians. You know what I'm saying? And I look at that and I'm like, isn't that exactly what the United States wants to do to us? I'm like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They like, did it in Louisiana, an operation in Katrina. They actually did. That's why they had to pass a federal law saying that civilian authorities are forbidden to institute mass roundups of firearms from law-abiding people in times of emergency, because they actually did it in Katrina.
See?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
enough. Yeah, absolutely. My takeaway from that, folks, is, look, at the end of the day, we can't blame nobody else. You can't blame nobody but yourself. We know how we voted, but the reasons for why we voted don't match how we vote.
Yeah.
You know, we're voting off of emotion and what you think and how you think, and the key word that shouldn't be there is think. You know, how you feel and how I feel and how they feel, that key word that shouldn't be there is feel. Think or feel shouldn't be in those two equations. It should be fact-based. You know, I can't tell you think or feel. That don't make any sense.
Yeah.
You vote off of facts with these people. You know, look up the facts. Don't just say, we vote to the party. You know, we've covered this topic tons and tons of times on this show. And it's just going to be something that all these stuff are going to start to unravel. You know, all this stuff is going to start to unravel. America is slowly changing, and it's not being the good old USA, US of A, as it used to be. It's slowly changing to where certain rights that was put out there are being taken away. I wanted to toss this one in here because my wife and I was watching the news last night, which we don't. But for some reason, I wanted to stay in the know of what's going on over in Afghanistan. Well, where is it? Kabul, right? I wanted to kind of stay in the know of what was kind of going on over there. But they were talking about the I guess freedom of speech, right? I think it's freedom of speech. And they were saying how the Taliban are all over social media. They're posting this, they're posting that, they're posting so much hate. They're doing a whole lot of posting, but somebody questioned. People have been asking Facebook and all the social media platforms to ban the Taliban activity and influence through social media. And the answer that they're getting, especially from Facebook, has been they don't see anything wrong with what they're posting. But yes, Trump's social media privilege or his social media right, not a privilege. There's a difference between a right and a privilege. His social media, his access to freedom of speech via social media platforms are gone. So I'm going to leave that out there with you listeners.
Or they know the same thing. Hey, guys, in case anybody hasn't noticed, I have. I'm sure other people have, too. The Taliban, upon entering Kabul, all these other provinces in Afghanistan, have done two things. They're forcing women to wear masks, and they're inhibiting the right of free speech. Does anybody sense anything familiar here?
I do.
I kind of thought you would, because you guys are kind of smart. Yeah. I don't think we have much to say with regard to the Taliban, you know, and their so-called infringements on liberties, because it seems to me as if we're setting sort of a pattern for them.
Yeah.
Well, we trained them in the first place, so I'm going to keep moving. That brings a quote up that I always think about, and that's from Martin Luther King, and if there's injustice anywhere, there's a threat to justice everywhere. So if you go back to Trump's social media being disbanded, and you know another person who they disband a lot, and not that I'm a supporter or anything, but that what's the Muslim pastor's name, preacher? What he's a big what's his name, y'all?
I know who you're talking about. But I don't know his name.
Farrakhan. You know he's been censored, and the thing of the matter is. You know, regardless of whether freedom of speech is freedom of speech, y'all. And once you start chipping away, it's like an ice sculpture. Once you start chipping away at injustice here, injustice there, injustice here, injustice there, you know, we might cheer like, yay, so, you know, hey, we don't want to hear that. But somebody does. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you have no right. This is what America is built on. It's the land of the free, supposedly. So we should be able to have at least freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. So if we're being infringed on that little by little, person by person, because you say something that the masses don't like, then how could anything have come about and changed if people were censored?
I'm sorry. Not the masses. It's not even the masses. It's the government.
Well, the best solution to bad speech is more speech.
I don't mean to cut you off,
Tia,
but it's not even the masses, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're acting as though speech is something we're supposed to be afraid of. We're supposed to be able to counter the rotten speech with better speech, with speech that contrasts it and says why it is bad, not stop it.
I've always said that, there are way too many people in our country that are just ignorant to their own rights. They have been blinded by the freedom, or even spoiled, you know what I'm saying, by the freedom that, that our militaries have fought to give them. And I'm talking about generations, not just, recently, but, you know what I'm saying, the whole mentality. It always blows my mind to hear military personnel speaking the opposite talk of what we understood we were willing to fight for. You know what I'm saying? Like, that always blows my mind. And I get it. You know, there are white military members that feel certain freedoms shouldn't be given or allowed to black military members. I get all of that. We all took the same oath. You feel me? And unfortunately, the oath that we promised to defend, you know what I'm saying, has spoiled our people. You know what I mean? And now they want to stand with, the Biden administration and take the very freedom that made us a country. Like, that's the stuff that blows my mind every time. Like, what? Like, you just want to forget. Like, the only thing that matters to you is music videos and nice shoes. That's ridiculous.
And cars. And the nice cars. Don't forget the cars.
Well, I'd like to remind people that historically, the colonists, when the United States was 13 colonies of Great Britain, they put up with a lot for a long time, actually. They put up with the Stamp Act, the Intolerable Act, the Townshend Act, and so on and so forth. They put up with it from 1765 right up to April of 1775 when the British went too far by going to Lexington and Concord to take the powder, shot, and ammunition. So, you know, I mean, American people were on the book with a lot for a long time, but maybe not indefinitely. Just like remind these would-be tyrants that indefinitely, I don't think the American people are going to put up for it forever. They seem to think that we will. I just like remind them maybe they shouldn't be so sure about that one.
Right, 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 100%. 100%.
But you know what, Sarge? That makes sense what you just said. I'm gonna tell you why and why it's just something you just said just hit home. That's why they want us so divided, because together they would not be able to do some of the things they do. The reason why they want us so divided, they want black people to blame white people. They want white people to blame black people. They want lesbian people or gay people to blame straight heterosexual people. They want everybody pitted against each other. You know why? Because collectively, they would not be able to do the things they do. They want us to be separated.
I mean,
they want us to be divided. Because if we're together, there's no possible way they'd be able to do some of the things they're doing. Period.
Well, we have
they
to understand that these people are animated by the spirit of Marxism.
Yeah.
One of the key components of Marxism is dialectical materialism. Dialectical materialism holds that progress is only achieved through class struggle. In order to have class struggle, you must have classes, and the classes must be pitted against each other. In classical Marxism, it was the landowners, the industrialists, the capitalists, and the bourgeoisie against the peasants and the proletariat. But in modern-day culture, in this woke-ism, this woke Marxism, they simply have changed it over to cultural terms. It is just as insidious, and it must be resisted every bit as strongly.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
Because, again,
and the sad part is you can't get people to understand.
When they wrote We the People, they knew what they were writing, even though, you know, so we could say all we want to say that it wasn't about black Americans, okay, whatever. But they knew what they were writing when they wrote We the People. They knew what they were writing. And our government knows it took unifying for them to overthrow the government that had them under their boot. They never want that to happen to us. They want to dictate like that, but you know what I'm saying? But they don't want it to happen to them. Like, no, we don't want them to ever unify and take over us. Like, we don't. It just can't happen. So we have to eliminate any way we can. We have to eliminate their ability to be able to fight back.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is why the critical theory is everything to them. Critical theory, whether it's just plain old critical theory or critical race theory or Latinx crit or whatever name they wish to attach to it, is intended to tear down the institutions that have created or not created, because we got them when we were born by virtue of being human, because they're inalienable. What the Constitution did was to recognize these pre-existing rights and to provide a method to protect them with the force of government. This is why they're doing everything they can to tell us they're invalid, because after all, they were founded, which is a lie. But they're convincing more and more people of it. It was founded on racism, white supremacy, and genocide.
Yeah.
And by telling this lie over and over and over and over again, like Goebbels said, they can get enough people to believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's bad, yeah.
Wow.
This is trying to get people
to really understand it and hear you. It's almost like they just won't. It's like it's too far gone now. I hate to say it would take a real movement for people to really be able to understand, hey, this is what's going on. Woke is not woke anymore. You see what I'm saying? There's no woke. Everybody's asleep.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few people that are awake, but that understand. I don't even call it awake. Some people, there's a few people that are understanding what's going on and can see it, and they're trying to warn others. And they're either, one, silent, or two, they are made to look like fools. Do you understand
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, even when we talk about Elliot, you know, we don't talk about the Bible a lot, but I'm saying, you know, I'm sure that back in the biblical days, people looked, when Noah was going around telling everybody it's going to rain, it's going to flood, you know, he's building a boat and everybody's sun, sunshiny, everything looks good, everything's great. And then the raindrops start. And it is going to be too late. You see what I'm saying? Once this stuff is, once our rights are taken, once this thing, like I always think about, I think I catch a couple of caps, captain's logs, or what if, I think he calls them that. But he said the next thing is coming. And it's like, when I heard it the last time he said it, I was like, wait a minute, something is coming. And it's not, and when you said it, people are like, oh my gosh, you're being cynical. Oh my gosh, you're being whatever. It's like, no, you're not listening. Something is coming. And once it's here, it's too late, y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's too late. And so it's just nothing. It's like either you get on the board, you either get on the ark or you drown. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Bible holds is the father of lies. His name is Satan. And Satan's whispering in a lot of people's ears now. In fact,
yes,
one of the foremost proponents of all this radicalism we see today, a guy named Saul Alinsky, who wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, one of Obama's favorite books and one of Obama's favorite scholars. In fact, he went into a school to train activists that was founded by this guy named Saul Alinsky.
Wow.
He devoted the book Rules for Radicals to Lucifer. And that don't tell you all you need to know. I don't know what else there is to say.
100%.
Dwayne, what do you think?
Yeah.
I can hear your mind clicking over here.
You can hear it clicking, right?
I'm
absolutely loving the dialogue because, you know, I love that saying that you're saying when you tie it back to Noah and the Ark, right? And I think it's very interesting that people, and, you know, we don't talk about the Bible on the show, but I think it's very interesting that we have a lot of people that will call folks like us paranoid, crazy, and whatever words they want to use to fill in the blanks, right? And I know you probably get it a lot more than I know. We all probably get it pretty evenly. I know I get it from my people from New York because New York is they don't do this firearm training and stuff, right? And I know Kia, you're like Queen Prepper over there, and at E, you're perfectly in between both of us, right? And I think it's very interesting that the same people that would say that we're crazy and paranoid, all the other words in between, would turn around and claim that they're very religious and believe in the story of Noah and the Ark. And the reason I say that is they'll hold that story to a very high, high standard, which it should. But when we talk about preparation here, they don't understand it. But then when they read and talk about the story, the people that they're judging in the story isn't Noah. It's the people that didn't want to listen to Noah. That's pretty much who they judge. They never, the people that are reading the story back to us or the people that listen to the story, they don't ever judge Noah. They judge the people that don't follow Noah. Wonder why? Because they're reading it. They're not in the now. Here we are in the now, and I don't want to compare us to Noah, but we're saying, hey, something is coming, whether it's in our current generation or not, something is going to happen. But what do you say, people like to say the second coming and all this other stuff, what does that look like? It's not going to look like what it did back in the Bible days. It's going to match current times, right? It's going to match current times. And right now, current time, those folks in Afghanistan did not know that was about to happen, because from what's being said was when we pulled out or started the process of pulling out and pulling our military back, the government or the regime or whatever is over in Afghanistan, correct me, I'm sorry if I'm not using the right terms for over there, but I guess the government that's in place or was in place over there thought they had months to prepare for the Taliban pushing forward. They thought they had months, but it happened in a matter of hours to days.
Wow.
So those folks over there that's been being taught to prepare, something is coming. Guess what? Afghanistan is being flooded right now. Those people are running. Those people are scared.
Yeah.
And we'll be fools to think that something like that can't happen here in America. You know? We will be fools to think something like that can't happen. Those people that live around the Capitol building, right, when the storming of the Capitol building happened earlier this year, right, and I laugh every time I hear about that because that was just a big old joke. But those people that lived around there that all they saw, looked out their windows and saw this huge crowd of people storming the Capitol building. What were they thinking? What were they thinking when they saw that? Were they thinking, damn,
wow,
Tia, Elliot, Sarge, and Dwayne was right. This is the end. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Thank God the way it turned out, it turned out. But if those folks really meant, did they really stood tall in their belief, like these people in Afghanistan are standing in their belief, the Taliban, and they really wanted to overthrow the government, how do we really think that would have really turned out? What do we say now? What do those people in D.C., how do they react when they're surrounding blocks, they're hearing nothing but gunfire, and it's coming through their windows, and people's going door to door? You know, so that's kind of what I was thinking. I absolutely love, again, I love the dialogue. And so our listeners out there, folks, we're not paranoid. Preparation is better than no preparation. It's that simple. And guess what? If we're preparing and nothing happens now, why are we mad? You know what I equate this to, y'all, and then I'm going to pass the talk back over to y'all. It's kind of like going to the hospital, right? And I don't understand why we think like this, especially in the black community. We definitely think like this. I'm sick. Or Kia, you're sick. Or E, you're not feeling well. And we say, hey, why don't you go to the doctor? And you say, no, I don't want to go to the doctor. And we're like, yo, go to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor. Why do you hate going to the doctor? Because every time I go to the doctor, I'm wasting my time because they tell me nothing's wrong. How crazy is that saying right there?
Yeah.
We go to the doctor, and we are upset when the doctor tells us there's nothing wrong. We want to hear there's something wrong with us.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of how people look at us when we prep, especially that one friend or family member that decides to join in. We say, yo, you see the stuff that's happening in Afghanistan? We need to prepare. Yo, go. You don't have a firearm? Hey, I'll take you. Well, you know what, Dwayne, Kia, E, Sarge, take me to the gun store. Okay, let's go buy this gun, $500. Let's buy some ammo. I'm going to keep it in my safe. You're not going to train? No, I don't have time for that. You say something might happen. They missed the whole world, the whole word.
Right.
Might. They missed the whole prepare. We never said something's going to happen next week. 2-3 weeks go by, nothing happened. They mad at you. Why are you mad at me, Kia?
Yeah.
Oh, because you said something's going to happen. So I bought all this stuff and nothing happened. So you are mad that the world didn't come to an end. Instead of being grateful that, God forbid, something happened, you're prepared. That's the most
valuable thing. Well, it's the same thing, Dwayne. It's the same thing, Dwayne, when you buy car insurance, health insurance, and you never use it. Like, I complain every year I do open enrollment. I say, you know, this is so crazy. We only use it for annual physicals, and that's it. Right? We only use it for teeth cleaning, and that's it. I'm paying all this money for all this insurance. But guess what? We get it because in case something happens. Insurance and car insurance, health insurance, those are all preparing you in case something happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah,
there's no difference.
What y'all are saying, like, we as American people, we don't see every aspect like that. We don't see everything like that. And that's the problem. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one's really concerned that danger is literally right around the corner. You feel what I'm saying? At any given moment, you can step out your house and possibly get hit by a car. Any given moment, you can possibly, you know what I'm saying, you could drop from a heart attack. At any given moment, you know what I'm saying, you have an aneurysm. At any given moment, you could get into a car accident. At any given moment, you could lose your job. At any given moment, right, something can change your life. But that's not how we live. We live like we believe we're guaranteed tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? So there's never a spot ever for our American culture that, you know, our especially this young generation, that they ain't going to have another chance. They're never thinking that way. So, and unfortunately, those of us that have had firearm experience, whether it be civilian, military, law enforcement, we see things on a totally different area. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not all the way black or white, but, you know what I'm saying, a whole lot better than gray. You feel me? But you have, you know what I'm saying, these people that, I mean, literally, you know, they can't understand why you would carry a firearm every day. Like, no matter what you explain to them, no matter what they see on television, no matter how many times someone down the street from them has gotten shot or robbed, they still can't understand. Why do you need to have a gun? Why do you need one?
Hey, guys, I got something hot off the presses for you. And this is something that I think may have a great deal of bearing on our constitutional status in the future. We just got today that Joe Biden's Department of Injustice, did I mispronounce that? No, I don't think so. Joe Biden's Injustice Department is stepping up its fight against a new state law in Missouri that aims to invalidate many federal gun regulations, saying the measure has impeded law enforcement efforts to work with state and local police and is also unconstitutional. Here's what they're saying. They are saying that HB 85 is legally invalid, that's the Missouri law, under the United States Constitution's Supremacy Clause. The state of Missouri has no power to nullify federal laws. See, here's the problem with these people. They can't read, because I got a copy of the conversation. Constitution. Here's what the Supremacy Clause says in Section 2. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof. I would submit to the Department of Justice that federal gun control law is not in pursuance of the Constitution that most of us understand.
Yeah.
See, they're trying to say that. They're trying to see that they want us to accept the premise that federal gun control law is inherently constitutional. And I say to you, for the most part, it is not.
Right.
And the state laws that recognize the invalidity of federal gun control law under their power to nullify unconstitutional law are, in fact, acting on constitutional ground. So let's see what this fight – let's see how this fight comes out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, this is a supremacy clause. But see, they seem to think it meant the supremacy clause is put in there to say the federal government is supreme in everything it decides to be supreme in, and that isn't what the Constitution says. It ain't that long a document. I'm going to look high and low for anything in the United States Constitution that says anything like that.
Yeah.
Is there an island? Is there an island I can buy in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, y'all?
I know, right?
You ain't going nowhere. You got to stay here and help us fight. You understand what's at stake, and everybody like you has got to stay and get ready to fight.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's scary, y'all.
And you
scary,
know, the fighting part, Sarge, is not even the scary part. Let me tell you the scary part, y'all. The scary part is the fighting that's going to be done. You know how, you know, on The Walking Dead, you think, oh, what we all band together, we can kill the zombies, right? But it's not the zombies.
Yeah.
Now we got to fight the people who's trying to come and take your stuff. And, you know, it's like the scary part is not fighting the zombies. The scary part is fighting Tim and John and Amy and Sue down the road, right, who's trying to come take your stuff and want to fight against you and say, hey, look right there, you guys, the zombies are coming. And instead of them banding with you to fight the zombies, they're fighting you. That
now
is
we can understand the age-old reason that people banded together into tribes, regions, and nations. This is the reason it came into being, to protect you and your people from the depredations of invaders, like on the southern border, for instance.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It ain't hard to understand. See, all these things eventually will manifest themselves, even to the dullest amongst us. And I would submit to you, we are at a point in history in this country where even the most stupid and obtuse and blockheaded people are beginning to see the things that people like us have been saying for decades.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I could give you an example. My, so a family member of mine was 100% voting for the, you know what I'm saying, the Democratic Party. 100%. This is the best move. Oh, don't worry about those guns. That ain't no big deal. It's in that and da 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 da. Just the other day, I spoke to that family member, and they are so upset because he's not kept his word about anything he was going to do for the black community. And I was like, now, isn't that ironic? I know I told you that was going to happen. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I've been saying it for quite some time that this is going to lead us to, like Kia just pointed out, you know what I'm saying, people trying to take our guns, Joe next door, whatever. But even on top of that, there's going to be some family members we're going to have to face. Because I have family members that believe that we should not have firearms. So.
Well, you know, believe me, you know, there's a lot of people. Well, you know, but I think the trend is trending in the opposite direction. We've got more first-time firearm buyers than probably any time in the United States history, because of what they're seeing the federal government doing and other governments, particularly the federal government. And I think more people are awakening to the fact that we might be coming across the 1775 moment. Who knows? I'm certainly not hoping it will happen, because there is nothing worse than a civil war. It's the worst kind of war there is. But the way these things are trending, some things are just inevitable.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, folks, I definitely want to put this out there. We got 3 minutes coming up on closing. I think today's topic was awesome. For our, again, the one thing I want to leave y'all with is, for those gun owners out there, secure your firearm. Secure your firearm. Don't be careless. Secure your firearm. Take your time. Make sure you put it away. And today's show, folks, have been sponsored by three awesome, awesome companies. Today's show has been sponsored by Zach Tactical out of the Richmond area, Richmond, Virginia. Also sponsored by 610 Tactical out of Dansville, and also sponsored by the one and only Point Blank Firearms and out of North Carolina. Let's give a good, nice hand clap for those three sponsors, y'all. But when I tell you, man, when I got the email today saying that we had these sponsors coming in, I was like, man, these companies are top notch. Definitely love you, top notch. Y'all haven't looked them up? Definitely look them up. Again, that's Zach Tactical, ZAC. Not ZAK, but ZAC Tactical. Look up Point Blank, and also look up 610 Tactical. Folks, we definitely love y'all. Y'all are awesome. I just want to throw those out there. Stars, you know, you about to just add you to the roster, man.
You just gonna add Stars to the show.
Coming in, dropping knowledge.
Well,
I'll tell
you guys inspire me, because you have an understanding, and most critically, you want to learn more. And your allegiance to the Constitution is really inspiring, and I'm grateful that you allow me to contribute in any way I can, because, I want to encourage so many more people who think like you and act like you. I think you're just wonderful for doing anything you're doing, trying to inform the people about the things that you do, and just keep it up. And if there's anything I can do to help, just let me know.
Absolutely, Sarge.
Thank you so much,
Sarge.
We really appreciate you guys. Yeah, I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the show. I appreciate you guys. I know it's tireless effort. You know, sometimes we have things going on, but I really appreciate you guys for everybody just sticking in there, you know. Hey, whether we have no callers or we have six or seven or eight callers, you know, we're just here every Wednesday, and we're going to continue to be as long as we can.
Absolutely.
So thank you. We'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Thank you very much. Next Wednesday. Woo! 8:30. Come and check out Point Blank Radio. Tell your friends and family. We love y'all.
Good night.